Prefer Talk-Ons. Bill, Josh, how are you now?
Great, Keith. How are you?
Great.
Good. Well, especially great because we are not a Michigan podcast, so we don't have to talk about Michigan today.
We probably might talk about it for a minute. We're going to talk about all the big games, though.
So. Yeah, we're going to talk about the big games. We're not going to have to touch on that game, I think. I think everyone saw the score and kind of understood.
I'll make it real quick.
Yeah.
Michigan's not very good.
Yeah.
Moving on from that.
But yeah, I was at a wedding, so sorry I couldn't make it last week, but I gained a brother over the weekend, so it's a little... different now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Never had a brother before.
I have neither. I'm getting a brother in 3 weeks.
Yeah. So.
'Tis the season for sisters to get married.
Yeah, apparently. I don't know. We'll see how that works out. But how'd you guys' teams do last week? I know how my
I lost
team
to you, Keith. Dick.
Oh, I know. I printed it out just in case you forgot.
Damn it.
But.
My team actually did pretty well, too. All things considered. That's what bugged me. I guess we'll go through my team. Joe Burrow killed it against Vanderbilt. No one else did, really. We'll end there.
Okay. Josh, how'd your team do?
I won. Won again. Brock Purdy had quite the game for me. 6 total touchdowns. So.
Jeez. That's
50, a lot of touchdowns. 55 total points. Three rushing and 3 passing.
Bill, Joe Burrow had 6 touchdowns.
Oh. Neat.
He had almost 400 yards and 6 touchdowns.
And then my Virginia defense got me 26 points, so I picked up from my 1 week rental.
I'm just so thanks for them. Fantasy football.
Not that bad, though.
I'm pretty bad. I did move up to I am now the 4th lowest score in our league now. So moving up that way. I was 3rd last week.
Matters.
I'm now 4th. I'm still 2-2 for don't know how.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Bill, you're still doing
it's a
great.
Long season.
Not really.
But yeah, as you heard, my team also did very well. Jamie Newman continued his winning ways. So did Jacob Eason. So really happy I picked both those guys up. Thank you, Josh. Ian Book didn't do great.
In his defense, he played the Georgia defense.
I know.
Not a lot of people do great against the Georgia defense.
275
just like
yards.
Tony Jones, who only got 6 carries.
2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But none of your, only one of your 6 touchdown passes actually went to Justin Jefferson on my team.
I know. Jamar Chase had 3 of them.
I know. Yeah. So Justin Jefferson was my biggest disappointment at 8 points, only 2 receptions, 18 yards, 1 touchdown. So
I was kind of annoyed. I know kickers aren't usually the make or break, but against Oklahoma State, I would hope my kicker to have more than 4 points. He kicked 4 extra points, and that was it. What a letdown.
I won't get into this yet because that's the preview episode, but how did, for me, one of the guys, JoJo Ward, only had 9.5 points, did have a touchdown. How did Bird do for you?
Oh, so your Bird, 6 receptions, 54 yards, 1 touchdown.
Okay.
You know what bugs me? I finally started Chris Olave, who scored 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But only had 3 catches, so he didn't do any better than Cedric Bird.
Well, he did 2.5 points better.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when I lose by 50.
You know, what's actually funny is you had Cameron Dicker, I had Matt Amendola.
Yeah.
he had 3 field goals as well, so.
I'm also, I don't know if Nathan Rourke is the guy for me.
Brought him up a lot.
Out of 4 weeks, he's only gotten 1 that's scored over 25 points.
Well,
he was my first round pick.
Yeah. I'll get into disappointments in a second.
I mean, how many weeks in a row do I have to hear Nathan work on the disappointment list before I make a change?
Well, here's what I'll say about Nathan Rourke. It's going to be tough. His non-MAC games are going to be tough, but I think his MAC games are actually going to be really good for him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, first 4 weeks, not great, but when you're fighting for a playoff spot in the back half, I think you'll definitely be really glad he spent a first round pick on him.
Especially, this is week 8 through 13 for Nathan Rourke. Kent State, Ball State, Miami of Ohio, Western Michigan, Bowling Green, Akron.
Yeah.
That schedule is so friendly.
So I would say.
I'm not going to drop him. I'm just going to
say, flop,
Nathan,
but
just take a breather. We're going to put you on the bench. I grabbed Dylan Gabriel last week, who's done very well. Take a breather. I'll start Burrow and Gabriel and see how we do.
So how would you feel about your Mason Fine pick then as well?
Kind of the same as Nathan Rourke. He hasn't done amazing. Rico Bussey's also hurt now too.
Right.
So it's not looking pretty.
Right. But I mean, North Texas beat UTSA 45-3, but he only scored 17 points out of that game.
I know. Two passing touchdowns, only 15 completions. It's like,
it's probably, he just didn't play a whole lot.
Huh?
Just didn't play a whole lot.
Well, and they're running the ball a lot more.
Right.
I don't know.
With that,
I made some changes in my quarterbacks.
All right.
Last week that I'm happy with. So I would be a lot more upset if like our pro league at work here, 14 teams, way too deep. Thankfully in college, there's a lot more availability on the waiver wire. I'm treading water. We'll say that. So I'd be a lot more mad if I didn't have as many options on the waiver wire.
Yeah. I would say anything less than five quarterbacks on your bench, you're doing better than Sparty Matt. So
although Sparty Matt's the top scorer, so
no,
the hell do I know?
No, he wasn't.
Not this week.
But. Oh no, because it's Chubb Hub than me.
Oh, Keith just had to throw that in there.
But he's, I just wanted you to.
Sparty Matt's got Jalen Hurts, so that's.
anyway, so let's go through some of the top performers. Number one, Anthony Gordon from Washington State. 80 points.
Holy shit.
Crap.
570 yards passing, nine touchdowns.
Nine touchdowns.
And they lost, as you will hear later in this show.
Yep.
Yeah.
Programming note, we recorded what was supposed to be a short segment with Zach, who is a Washington State grad, and it turned into a full-blown episode. So we're gonna play it in the middle of this one. So stay tuned.
Next to him was Dorian Thompson-Robinson out of UCLA. Only owned in 14% of leagues, but scored 71 points.
Jeez.
507 yards, five touchdowns. Only one interception. But 25 for 38 is a pretty good day.
Can I go back to Anthony Gordon for a second?
Okay.
Via our scoring system, he got 62 points.
Mm-hmm.
God bless UConn Feeb. He started him and Justin Fields. However, Feeve also started the Michigan defense, who got -2. Feeve lost by 1.
Oh.
If he benched the defense, he would have won. What a heartbreaker.
That sucks.
Oh, that's brutal.
That's so brutal.
Okay, carry on.
Side note, in my home league for professional, I lost by 0.1 point
last week. Oh, no.
If some dude just fell over for another yard.
From a stat correction.
That's the worst way to lose.
Ouch.
Stat correction. 0.1 point. Anyway, Brock Purdy from Iowa State, 63.3 points, 21 for 27, 435 yards, three touchdowns.
It's pretty efficient.
Josh Adkins, New Mexico State, 54 points, 30 for 47, 335, three touchdowns.
For the record, I don't think that's remotely sustainable. They played New Mexico.
Right. Joe Burrow from LSU. 25 for 34, 398 yards, six touchdowns. So congratulations again.
Thank you.
Tommy DeVito from Syracuse, 52 points, 27 for 35, 287, four touchdowns. And the last one of note, I would say, besides Justin Fields, Jamie Newman, would be Chris Robinson from Florida Atlantic. 25 for 36, 379, five touchdowns, no interceptions.
It's a real good day.
Real good day. Only owned in 10% of leagues, though he did play Wagner. So,
yeah,
we'll see. Biggest disappointments for fantasy, for QB, Drew Plitt from Ball State, 35 for 57.
Ooh.
333 yards, no touchdowns. Jordan Love, Utah State. Wow, Utah State. 30 for 47, 293 yards, excuse me. Trevor Lawrence. Making the list. Anyone care to guess how many passing attempts he had?
Like there's no way he even played past halftime.
They beat the crap out of Charlotte, so he just went through the motions.
Nine.
Oof.
He went 7 for 9 for 94 yards and two touchdowns.
Still so like two touchdowns.
It's a really good day. It's just he probably only played like three series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I got to get that other 5-star kid in.
Yeah, right. And only other one, Nathan Rourke of notes, 18 for 38, 277 yards, one passing touchdown, three interceptions.
That's good.
A great day.
Against Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, no offense, but they're not like known for defense. So I kind of
not typically.
It's kind of a bummer.
So let us move on. Not let us.
Can I do a note on Chris Robinson for FAU?
Go for it.
You mentioned his big game against Wagner. His point totals on the year: week one, 11.1 points; week two, 4.9; week three, 36; week four, 39. Which Chris Robinson are you going to get? I think a lot of that's based on the
played Ohio State one of those weeks, right?
Yes, Ohio State and UCF were his really two low scoring ones. So now that they're moving into Conference USA play, it might be a little better.
Right.
Add at your own risk.
Right. So top performers for running backs: Bryant Kobach from Toledo, 19 rushing attempts, 220 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 receiving touchdown for 8 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Kinsey Jr. from Colorado State, 23 attempts, 246 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 reception. Cam Akers, Florida State, 112 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 3 receptions. So, pretty decent game. Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin.
That's all I need to say. Move on.
Okay.
A lot of yards. And
a lot of yards.
Some of that time.
And he didn't play for half the game.
Yep.
But, yeah, 2 touchdowns. Levante Bellamy, 165 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 fumble, but it's not that bad. Darius Anderson from TCU, 161 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 receptions for 32 yards. So it's not a bad day. I mean, everyone else you think of kind of did well. No one
except
on here.
Except for Tony Jones.
The only other one of note would be Joel Shaw from Kent. He went for 109 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns with 1 reception for 7 yards. 24 points on the day, so pretty good for a guy that's only owned in 7% of leagues. Biggest disappointments: Zach Moss from Utah. 2 points to the tune of 20 rushing yards after 6 attempts.
Yeah, but he left the game with a shoulder injury.
Yep, he left the game with half a shoulder. Greg McCray from UCF. 13 rushing attempts, 40 yards, and 2 receptions totaling a negative 5 yards. So,
yeah, he did not leave the game early. He just played Pitt's defense.
Scotty Phillips, 14 rushing attempts for 54 yards. CJ Verdell from Oregon, 24 rushing attempts for only 82 yards.
Oof.
That's so, again, apologies. I cooled on him early.
About 3 yards to carry.
Yeah, I cooled on very early when we were deciding, you know, for our draft picks. So I'm pretty happy, and I apologize if you guys spent high draft capital on him because he's not showing up. The only other one of note, which we would have to say, would be Travis Etienne. Only 11 rushing attempts for 61 yards, but 1 touchdown.
11 rushes, 61 yards.
I mean, just the volume's just not there. So. I mean, well, again, fantasy-wise.
I know. I think he was just another guy, though, that just didn't play much after that.
You know they're going to beat the crap out of Charlotte. Why?
But, again, it's week after week. So your first 4 weeks, he's not producing number one numbers.
That's the hard thing with when you have a fantasy team who just – or a guy on your fantasy roster who plays for one of the best teams in the country. It's a risk of lack of volume because they're not going to play him in blowouts. For the record, CJ Verdell was picked in the 7th round in our league.
In the 7th round?
Yep.
I just know for a lot of people he was pretty high. A lot of the mock drafts, I saw him going 2nd, 3rd rounds.
I mean, Evan grabbed him. Evan also drafted J.K. Dobbins, Salvin Ahmed, Cam Akers, and Andrew Van Buren. So it's not exactly like he's hurting for running backs right now.
So wide receivers.
Apologies for my chair. It's squeaky. It's annoying.
It's okay. So wide receivers. Jamar Chase from LSU. 10 receptions, 229 yards, 4 touchdowns. Congratulations. D'Angelo Antoine from Florida Atlantic. Owned in 0% of leagues, but had a 173-yard day for 4 touchdowns. Aesop Winston Jr. from Washington State had another day, 114 yards, 4 touchdowns. Wandale Robinson from Nebraska, 79 yards, 2 touchdowns off of 8 receptions. Tony Brown from Colorado, 150 yards for 3 touchdowns. Michael Pittman Jr. from USC, 232 yards, 1 touchdown. Gabriel Davis, UCF, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Demetric Felton from UCLA, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. Everyone else on here is the usual suspects. The only one of note, again, from Kent would be Kavias Price, 64 yards, 1 touchdown. But let's see. Biggest disappointments. Laviska Shenault Jr.
Continuing.
1 reception.
Yeah.
For 23 yards. But better than Jalen Reagor, who had 2 receptions for 2 yards.
That's it?
Huh. Yeah.
Ouch. Yep.
Quez Watkins from Southern Miss, 3 receptions, 24 yards. Justin Jefferson from LSU, 2 receptions, 18 yards, 1 touchdown.
Still be,
not
still
good enough. Though. 8 points. JoJo Ward, 3 receptions, 25 yards, 1 touchdown.
It's all right. I won.
Terrace Marshall Jr. from LSU, 4 receptions, 75 yards. T. Higgins, 1 reception, 58 yards, 1 touchdown. And Tylan Wallace, 5 receptions for only 83 yards.
That's all right. What's going on? He can have an off week one time. We'll be back.
It was against DBU, so
right. That's true.
What can you expect?
That's true.
And I wouldn't really consider this a disappointment, but Denzel Mims only had 102 yards from 6 receptions. I mean, it's still 100 yards, but just a lack of touchdowns kind of for most things is kind of disappointing. So, yeah, that was that's it for my disappointments. Well, tight ends don't matter.
You have a lot of disappointments. Just that's it for your fantasy team disappointments.
I have a lot of disappointments in my life.
That's what I mean.
As far as fantasy goes, yeah.
Yeah.
That is it. So, USC, huh?
What's going on? Are they good? Are they not good? Who knows?
What is happening in Southern California
right
now?
I have no idea. They go down to their third-string quarterback, who apparently can just sling the ball, and then they beat 10th-ranked Utah. What the heck?
So is USC that good, or is Utah just overhyped?
We'll get into this with Zach's interview. We talked in-depth Pac-12, but I think a lot of it was Utah had no answer once Zach Moss got hurt. It was either Tyler Huntley had to run the ball via draw play, or they tried to do a bunch of screens. So USC was game planning accordingly, and they just really struggled to move the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's USC being that good, but if you can put up 31 points on Utah's defense, you're doing something right.
Right.
So, take that.
I mean,
take that.
Even if your offense sputters, your defense, nothing really happens to your defense, right? And just USC found the answer.
Yeah.
So,
USC also kind of ran the offense of throw it deep and let your really athletic receivers go up and get it.
Right.
And it worked well. Obviously,
funny how that works.
Yeah, funny how that works. St. Brown and Tyler Vaughn and Michael Pittman, like, they were just doing four verts for like 90% of the offense. It worked.
But also, I do not think USC is good still.
No, I don't.
No.
I don't think so.
I would say they're back.
They're an 8-4 team.
Does this save his job though?
No. If Urban Meyer wants it, it's his.
I would think so too, especially with a new athletic director. I still think Utah is the team to beat in the Pac-12 South. But it all depends on how long Zach Moss will be out for with that shoulder problem. But yeah, I don't think Clay Helton's job is still safe.
Okay. Well, moving on then. Thank you, UCF, for
losing.
For losing. So we don't have to go through this the next cycle of
even Alabama
undefeated.
When they won the national championship, lost a game. I say give them a shot still. They go 11-1. Kelsey, let's give Central Florida a shot. Just kidding.
There was a UCF fan account. This is one of my early tweets of the week. There's a UCF fan account that found, apparently, Pitt is making shirts of this victory. It has the Pitt special was the trick play that they ran for the game-winning two-point conversion. And so there's a UCF account that is very mad about this, about UCF, Pitt making T-shirts. And they are getting absolutely roasted. There's... He said, when a regular season non-rivalry game victory over UCF football is celebrated with commemorative T-shirts, does Alabama or Clemson get that treatment? And everyone's just responding with the 2017 national champs on their stadiums.
That, to be fair, those T-shirts were made after a bowl game, not a regular season game.
What?
As his tweet suggested. The USC, the UCF guy's getting roasted?
Yeah, because he's getting mad about
people making T-shirts.
Yeah. When also, UCF made T-shirts for a fake champion, national
also championship. Also, the fact that it says the Pitt special is annoying to me.
Why?
Because it's the Philly special.
No, it's the Pitt special.
It's the Philly.
You're right. It's the Pitt special.
It's the Philly special.
Well, UCF and Boise State announced a home-and-home for 2021 and 2023. So,
a lot of Statue of Liberties, a lot of hook and ladders.
Hell yeah. We can see a lot of points. That's going to be so much fun. And hopefully, we can finally get a determination of who the real best G5 team is.
Speaking of Boise State, did you guys see that hit on Bachmeier?
I had to work Saturday. I couldn't watch many games.
I had to work Saturday, too, but watch the highlights from this game. I'm pretty sure I saw his soul leave his body because there was a second where I said, oh, no, he's done. He is knocked out, but he got up and celebrated.
He's a tough little cookie. He took a lot of hits.
Because that hit came from a 36-yard touchdown reception, too, which was a beautifully thrown ball, but at the expense of that hit. So just if you guys want to, or you should go watch that hit. Anyway, good for you, Cal.
Yeah, relying on the Pac-12 refs to save their ass. Good for you, Cal.
Good for you, Cal. Wait, it's nice to see that defense really hang in there, you know?
Yikes.
But hey, they're 4-0, so.
That's true. They're the only undefeated team in the Pac-12 left.
Right.
Which is
God,
so
who would
weird.
Have thought that at the end of the year?
So weird. The pride of the Pac-12, yeah. California Golden Bears.
That is your only hope for the playoff, Pac-12 fans. Cal.
Only hope? I mean, assuming Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia run the table, which they easily will.
You don't think Washington?
They already have a loss. I don't think a one-loss Pac-12 team gets in.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially with the way Washington's looking now.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
A one-loss Pac-12 team is not going to get in. They'll take, especially because Ohio State's going to look, let's be honest, they'll go undefeated as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to take a one-loss Pac-12 team over undefeated Ohio State.
Right.
And one-loss Georgia.
Any one-loss SEC team is going to get over a one-loss Pac-12 team.
Exactly. Because the one-loss SEC team will be Georgia in the SEC championship game. But at least we don't know who's going to win the title this year.
That's true.
I read something today that Dabo Sweeney already has the parade scheduled, the national championship parade scheduled. I only read the headline, didn't actually read the article, so it could be something completely different. But that's just what I read. So even Clemson knows that Clemson's going to win the national championship.
Very investigative of you. Thank you for sharing the knowledge.
I was at work. I was supposed to be doing work, so I don't like to read articles at work.
All right. So is Southern Methodist now the favorites for the American this year?
No.
No?
It's UCF.
You think so?
SMU has run through an okay-ish schedule. I don't buy them beating UCF yet in the title game. Or Memphis, for that matter. Or Tulane, for that matter.
They're 4-0.
Sweet.
So's Cal.
Okay.
No, I don't think SMU is... they've definitely surprised me, I'll give them that. But I don't think they're going to win the American this year.
Okay. So, Gumby.
Oh, dead.
So sorry. But D'Eriq King has taken his red shirt.
Can I go back to SMU real quick?
Okay.
They will probably go to 7-0 because they go to USF, host Tulane, host Temple. And then they have to visit Houston, visit Memphis, host East Carolina, visit Navy, and then host Tulane to end the year. That's a brutal back end.
A kingless Cougars.
Correct.
Memphis, and then the East Carolina team who's struggling to do anything with the ball.
East Carolina is not the one I'm worried about SMU losing. It's Navy Tulane back-to-back weekends. That's the tough one.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Either way, good for Sonny Dykes. He's done really well turning that around.
All right. So do you think De'Aaron King is staying at Houston?
I don't buy it. I know he's said, and his dad has said, like, yeah, we don't intend to leave Houston, but if he's going to redshirt now, there's got to be, like, an injury we don't know about, or I don't know.
He was playing hurt.
Everyone just seems so noncommittal about everything. I like to – let's put our tinfoil hats on here for a second.
Okay.
After week one, Lincoln Riley in the handshake line said, hey, look what Jalen Hurts is doing. Come play for me next year and do the same thing.
I think
De'Aaron King was like, hey, that looks great. I want to be the first pick overall. I'm going to do that. And so I think he's leaving Houston next year, going to Oklahoma, and is going to throw for 50 touchdowns and run for 30
touchdowns.
Somehow
get granted immediate eligibility.
Well, be a grad transfer, so
yeah.
He's got immediate eligibility.
Senior?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was a junior.
Thought he was a what?
Thought he was a junior.
Oh, junior. That's what he said. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to end up at Houston next year. Sorry, Holgorsen.
Well,
Like how we know Urban Meyer's going to end up at USC next year.
I would think looking around, he kind of sees the writing on the wall, and maybe Houston next year won't be so grand.
Because, yeah, that offense doesn't let him shine like the way I think he really wants to,
right.
Like the way the Oklahoma offense would.
Right.
Although I've also heard rumors about Florida State, which would be another great fit for him.
Think so?
Florida State's O-line sucks, but Oklahoma just makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if he suits up for Houston anymore.
Yeah, I would too.
Okay.
But if he goes to Oklahoma, I'm going to be – they're going to have their fourth straight Heisman Trophy winner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Jalen Hurts is going to have this
year. I'm excited to see
that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be so much fun.
I'm not hating what Oklahoma's doing. I
don't either.
Yeah. Love it. I want them to win the Heisman every year if their quarterbacks can keep playing like this.
I want to see like eight straight different quarterbacks win the Heisman for Oklahoma.
That would be pretty cool.
How much fun would that be?
That'd be amazing.
Like there's a guy in high school right now who's going to win the Heisman for Oklahoma in 6 years. Isn't that great?
That's nice. So, Bill, who is the new hard seltzer supplier of the Big 12?
Natty Light, the official hard seltzer of the Big 12.
That was
fantastic. A hard fist pump.
That's fantastic.
Josh here.
I've tried it already.
Already?
They're good. Yeah.
They're out?
They're out.
Okay.
I got one at Speedway.
Their two big flavors are Catalina Lime Mixer. Nice play on words there. And Aloha Beaches.
I had Aloha Beaches, and it was very good. Good job, Natty.
Yeah, so in terms of beers, I think Natty Light's actually doing it right.
Just embracing
being weird.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's the way to go. And seltzer is the hot thing right now.
One, I think they just recognize their place in the market of like, yeah, we're the beer that you get for a Dirty 30 for, you know,
yeah, they're the cheap beer, and now they're doing cheap seltzers too.
And they did Natter Days.
And the Natter Days.
So I still haven't had one. I was offered one, but it's like, I don't want to take the risk.
Natty? Or Natter Day. Seltzer?
Natter Day. I'm trying to Natter Day.
They're also good.
Pleasantly surprised. I will be
really?
Honest. Yeah.
Natty Light, new king of beers. And seltzers.
It's not really the champagne of beers. I'd call it the cheap white wine of beers.
Yeah. the white girl wasted of beers.
What is it? Barefoot wine? Is that the cheap $5 bottles?
Yeah.
The barefoot of beers. Yeah, that's perfect.
For the barefoot of beers.
Dirty feet and all.
All right. Well, I think it's time for a quick break before we get in the rest of our segments here.
Yeah. Stay tuned for a nice interview with Cougar Zach, who...
Well, it's less of an interview and more of a...
That's true.
Zach talking.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a quick, just before we have to go here, he has a bottle of whiskey the entire time.
Yep.
So just pay attention to that.
He goes... all over the map.
Yeah.
So, geographically,
but that's
emotionally.
Also how he is.
That's
as
just
a person.
That's just Zach. He's very hard to follow.
Right.
So
physically and mentally. We now have a special guest in the studio. We want to welcome Cougar Zach into our midst with his handle of whiskey after watching the Cougs unfortunately implode against UCLA last weekend. So Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
Graduate of Washington State.
Yes, I am. Not West Virginia, like Ross.
Ross?
No. Oh, yeah.
Ronnie
didn't
Ross
even,
didn't even go to West Virginia.
He didn't even go there, that fucking poser.
So,
You're obviously.
Let's talk a little bit about your fandom. When did you graduate from Wazoo? Am I allowed to call it Wazoo?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Please do.
Okay, because
the administration tried to cut that out years ago.
Right. I remember that from like. Well, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
They tried to cut it out because no good father wanted to send his daughter to Wazoo to go take a tour of all the frats.
Oh, it was trying to rebrand.
It was rebranding and tried to take us out of Playboy and everything, which, I mean, that may have worked, but I mean, Playboy should just put an asterisk by our school's name of we are the best party school, everybody else move over.
What is Playboy
that,
even?
That is a... It's a big statement right there. You're calling yourselves the biggest party school
in the nation. I have no shame in saying that. Absolutely not.
Well, when Game Day went there last year, they sold out of Busch Light and Fireball in like, what was it, a couple days?
Well, they had to keep making truck runs from Spokane to keep everybody fueled up.
That's insane.
So, you do the math.
It's a lot of Busch Light.
See, that's the thing.
Well, I think sell 5% of the nation's Busch Light in Pullman.
In terms of 6,000
people when the students aren't there.
How big is Wazoo?
When I went there, population. It was about 26,000 undergrad.
Okay. So it makes the city considerably larger.
Oh, yeah. It's a madhouse on game weekends. Wow. And every other time you're trying to go to Walmart, and you can't even go to get Tyson's chicken because everybody else is rushing for it. It's a freaking shit show.
Fun fact about you. You were buddies with Clay Thompson at Wazoo.
I was. Now he's too big for me.
He's too big for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, if you get him on the show, that'd be great.
Yeah. If Clay Thompson ever wants to talk college football.
Let me just go over there and give it a tug. You know?
That's the only reason that we brought you on was so we could
get closer
bridge,
to Clay.
Yeah, get a bridge to Clay. So
that's stalkish.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. That's the biz. A little bit of background. You have a degree in turf management, and you worked all around the country, all around the world, actually, and you ended up here, and you're still repping your Cougs.
Of course. Why wouldn't I?
Were you there when Leach was there?
No. I remember the day that we hired him. It was my senior year. And it was right around Christmas time. And it was right after the Apple Cup. And we were so...
Did you guys win that year?
Absolutely not. And, fuck no.
It's like Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah, you know what the answer is. Yeah. Just wanted to ask.
I can say fuck on here, right?
Yes.
Okay, sweet. So... They
Zach, if we said no, you'd probably just get up and leave.
I probably would. So we were just calling for Paul Wolf's head, and finally they fired him. So then we were like, who are we gonna get? You know, and we thought this whole process would take probably 3 weeks or so. Within a week, we had Mike Leach hired, and I mean, you would have thought we won the national championship when we hired Mike Leach. It was so funny because it was the same day that Urban Meyer got hired at Ohio State. And so they had a nice reserved press conference for Urban Meyer. And they go, okay, so let's cut over to Wazoo and Mike Leach's conference. The flags were waving, the bands were playing, the cheerleaders and all the dance team salutes were jumping up and down and everything. And then, I mean, it was a wild thing. I mean, just for a press conference. And then, you know, I own the T-shirt, and then the shirt got made off of what he said. His opening marks was, somebody asked me why Washington State. I said, well, that's a stupid question, you know.
Well, Leach is always good for a nice soundbite or a quote. You always send me his press conference musings. I love those.
Oh, he's great. I love looking at his little tweets that he sends just around the world. Like
He does have a good Twitter game.
He has a phenomenal Twitter game.
Yeah.
I mean, I suck at it. I don't get on the devil boxes like everybody else, but,
the devil boxes.
You know, you guys can have those. I'll just follow Leach on them. I get enough kick out of that.
Leach is great. Gardner Manning is also taking over the NFL right now. We talked a little bit on our last show how, like, us, Josh and I being hardcore fans, we were obviously knew who Gardner was going to the NFL. You must be on top of the world seeing Gardner.
Oh,
survive or thrive like the way he is.
Well, it's so much fun because, I mean, that's Leach's first NFL starter ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
First guy to ever start a game.
Quarterback, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Really? I was going to say, because Crabtree.
First quarterback to start a game. And, it's just fun to watch him, you know, do his thing because, I mean, this is nothing new to all of us. You know, we watched him game in and game out last year do that. And I think the biggest testament to Minshew is, you know, how he lifted Pullman up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he could have been, granted, the 11 wins help. But he could have got by with 8 wins and had the personality that he did. And, I mean, we were going through a rough time. Nobody wanted to watch football after Hlinski committed suicide. We just wanted to pack up the season, not even think about football. And I remember the first game against Wyoming last year, I didn't even want to watch it. I just, you know, I was watching, but – and then I was like, who is this kid, you know? And then the more and more you got to know him, it's like, this guy is freaking hilarious. I mean, he is a riot. And me and my buddies all text each other, we're like, could you imagine this guy with us sitting on the roof on D Street in Pullman drinking beer – watching people pick up a poop dollar. We were like, abso-fucking-lutely. I mean, this guy would have done the poop dollar game all day. I mean, it would have been great. I mean, throwing empty beer cans at all the rowing chicks walking by. I mean,
I'm almost afraid to ask, what's a poop dollar?
Well, we had this dog named Peter. He was our second baseman's dog at Washington State. His name was Tommy Richardson. And Peter was this little labradoodle, cutest dog you've ever seen other than Chief. And
Chief is Zach's dog, by the way.
Yeah, they don't get much cuter. And so Peter would poop. We'd go pick up his poop, and we'd put it in a dollar on the sidewalk. And all these kids walking home from class on a Friday or whatever, we'd be sitting up just fratting it out on the top of a roof, drinking beer. And they'd see the dollar, and they'd get really curious.
And this is on top of a dog poop?
It was kind of smashed together.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So you pick up the dollar, you automatically.
Oh, we were very strategic. We did surgery with this dollar before we, you know, let it turn it loose to all the people. And so we would watch these people go for this dollar and then just – oh no, and something doesn't smell right about that dollar. And I mean, sometimes it was great. It was all the Asian kids that actually picked it up. It was so funny.
Zach, I would not want to have lived next to you in college. How many complaints did you get from neighbors?
Well, every single weekend it was without fail that we'd have over 200 people at the house for a party. I mean, that was just how Pullman was. Like that every other house, though. That was the thing. Like, it was all just intertwined, and that's why it's the biggest party school in the country. And the administration, we used to be, like, number one in Playboy for party schools, and they asked to take it off because all the attendance was dropping. So, all the parents didn't want their kids going there. And then they weren't smart enough to get into UW, of course. I mean, we're no doctors, but, you know, we get by.
I can't wait for Evan to listen to this portion of the podcast.
Zach, I think we're going to do something real quick here. I know we do this with all our guests. As he takes a sip of whiskey. We got Wazzy's schedule here. And compared to a lot of the guests that we've had on, you are definitely one of the more optimistic towards your team as far as wins goes. So I'm excited to hear this from you. So we're going to go through the schedule. Bill's going to read it off. We want to hear your win-loss the rest of the season.
So just say win-loss, win-loss?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
And if you want to justify your decision a little bit, we're more than welcome to do that. So sitting at 3-1 right now.
Yeah, right.
Good spot in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Hold
on. Let's rephrase this because, okay, let's do one scenario. Say we beat Utah and then go from there.
Okay, so do you want to count Utah as a win?
In this segment, yes.
Okay.
So you can ask me after we go through this if Utah's a loss, and then I'm going to be like, the rest of the season's a freaking loss. You know, I think this is a make or break week.
So you either go 11-1 or 3-9.
Is that what I'm hearing? I wouldn't say 11-1, but
so make or break week.
Got to be 10-2 because you're going to lose to Washington.
Easy, Bill. There's a microphone in between us,
dude.
It's a given. Come on, talking to a couple of Michigan fans here. We know Michigan's going to lose to Ohio State.
It comes to this. Zach's getting mad.
Okay. All right. Let's start.
All right. Utah's a win. Okay. So you're at 4-1. You got a bye week after that. Then you visit the desert. Go to Arizona State.
I will be at that game.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fun. So I had a Perm Edwards for me. He's my teammate.
Yeah. And I saw him at Top Golf last time I was in Arizona, actually.
Was he giving people motivational speeches to hit better?
No. I mean, I was giving people motivational speeches to drink better. So I didn't concern myself with him. So he's about to fall out of your bottom of your cup there, Bill.
I don't know. There's something funky in there.
It's the lug nuts.
Something going on. All right. Arizona State. Win, loss?
Win.
Okay. 5-1. Coming back home to Pullman facing Mel Tucker's Colorado Buffaloes.
Win.
6-1.
Homecoming.
6-1. And then
I think that's homecoming. Usually is.
I would guess that it is. Then the real tough game the next week, visiting Oregon.
I'm going to go win. You know why?
Why?
What has changed so much about Oregon within the last few months that everybody's like they're that good?
Just that Justin Herbert came back, I think, is a lot of it.
We've beat him 3 times.
Smoked him. I'm not saying they're right. I'm just saying I'm guessing that's why.
The only guy that – what's that kid's name? Thibodeau? They're D-end.
Oh, yeah. Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah, he's the only one that's got me worried, honestly.
Okay.
I think if Gordon's on his game, that's the thing. I mean, we may have laid an egg against UCLA, but
– Oh, we'll get into that.
We have no problem getting up for Oregon. We hate Oregon just as much as we hate UW.
So that's a win.
All right, so 6-1. Another bye week, then you visit Cal.
That's a tough one. Cal's actually playing some decent ball right now.
They're undefeated right now.
Well, barely. I mean, come on. That was a Pac-12 crew.
Yeah. They kind of botched that one against Ole Miss.
And let's get a little political here. It was the biggest Democrat school versus the biggest Republican school ever. They were going to screw them any way they could. So, just kidding. I know, it was a joke. I'm getting
it. No, you're fine. No, it wasn't. Although there was audio of a Cal fan.
Oh, I heard this. This
calling,
is awesome.
An Ole Miss staffer fan, I don't know if it was, but it's like.
No, it was the other way around. It was an Ole Miss fan calling Cal.
Oh, I thought it was the opposite. Anyway, the word communist was thrown around quite a bit at the Cal Ole Miss game.
Towards Cal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Maybe, I don't know.
I'm not apologizing for laughing. Okay.
Anyway,
still let's stay on subject. We can get a Trump podcast going here tomorrow. So.
Hard pass on that one, but at Cal, take your sip.
To each his own. That's a close win.
Okay.
That's a close win.
Still one loss.
And then hosting Stanford.
Stanford's not very impressive this year, nope. Man. I'm going to go really win bad. On that one.
Okay.
Hosting Oregon State.
That's easy.
Absolute win. They couldn't even chop down a tree if they wanted to right now.
And then visiting Seattle for the Apple Cup.
Sore subject, Bill. I'm gonna go loss. I'm gonna be an unbiased fan right now and say loss.
Okay.
I don't see us beating UW.
2 losses in the Pac-12, probably not enough.
With Eason. Eason's too good. I mean, and let's be real. They figured Leach out. They've owned us.
Yep.
For how many years? Leach, the only one that Leach beat him in was when we kicked a field goal and beat him in overtime. And we actually had a comeback of our own. We scored like 14, 21 points, something like that, in the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter to come back and win that one.
Hate to blame the weather, but last year you guys did kind of get screwed.
Oh, we got with that. I won't deny that.
Definitely advantage
Washington.
Well, you
can't get receivers out of the backfield or out into the routes. You know, you literally saw them trying to kick off their shoes every single time they put their feet down. But let's be fair and honest here. We got manhandled up front. What's his name, the running back last year?
For Washington?
Yeah.
Washington? No, not Washington. crap, what's his name?
Yeah, I don't even want to say it. Them. Anyways, that guy, he had a great game.
Oh, Gaskin?
Yeah. Miles Gaskin. Yeah, Gaskin tore us apart. I mean, all they did was had to hand the ball off to Gaskin, you know, which that's the thing that I wish Leach would get better at. Okay, hey, we don't have our passing game. We need to run, guys. Like, we have to be a running team at some point.
But that's not the Air Raid brand.
If you want to beat UW, get with the run game.
Yeah.
We're never going to beat them just with Air Raid.
Especially because Washington has put out, like, how many corners and safeties in the first round of the NFL
draft
every year.
They are a phenomenal secondary. They're so good.
Yeah.
And they have our number for some reason, Chris Peterson in his Mickey Mouse bullshit way of football.
What's Mickey Mouse about?
Oh, my God. You know, you only run trick plays when you know you've been beat, okay? Like, every time he runs a trick play against us, it's because we're inching close. We're getting there. We're starting to get the game in hand. And then he pulls out a freaking trick play on us. And it's just like, take that shit back to Disneyland. You and your purple fairies. I can't stand anything about that school. Like, I hate them all.
It's done okay for them the past 6 years.
Great for them. But, you know what sucks is, like, you know, you get sick in the state of Washington, you go to school, and then you go to the doctor, and it's just like, where'd you go to school? UW. Shit.
Not all those dumb Washington doctors.
I might as well just fucking die right here. You know? I mean, that's why I never went to the doctor all through college. I couldn't stand going to a guy and having to thank a UW fan. Thank you,
all right,
sir.
So
now that you're riled up.
10-2, assuming they beat Utah next week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually think they'll beat Utah next week?
Apparently, it was Sunday practice was a different vibe yesterday.
I would think so.
From rumblings, apparently everybody's all about. This is why I say this might be the best thing that's ever happened to us. Because
the best thing.
Yeah. Now hear me out, Bill.
I'm listening.
Yeah. Drink your whiskey. My thing is, we have gone so long, and if you follow the Cougs and you watch their games, we have just not shut teams down. Like, we've let them inch back into games. We haven't taken control of the game, and we've never put teams down like they need to be put down in the third quarter. We always let them right back in. Oregon, for example, last year, 28-0 going into half, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We let them back in. It became a 14-point game. Almost a 7-point game in its closest time. I mean, we have to learn to put teams away. And maybe this was the wake-up call that we had to get of, you know, hey, wake up. You need to play four quarters of football. And right now we're not doing that. And, you know, it drives me nuts. It drives every Cougs fan nuts when you pour your heart and soul into this school and this town that you love. And it's like, you see the football players, and it's like, just keep playing. Like, you play, the way they played that first half against UCLA, they could have beat anybody. The way they played.
That was going to be my question.
The way they played after that, anybody would have beat us. I mean, what's the school over here? Lansing East or whatever they are? They would have beat us. I mean, they just put in a nice new football field and everything like that. They would have whooped our ass in that second half. I mean, what is it? The Quakers? Yeah. The Quaker State man would have whooped our ass.
State man.
And so, you know, it's like you got to learn to put teams away or else we're not ever going to do anything. And, you know, which brings me up to this, like, is Tracy Clays the answer? I don't know. I don't think everybody's so focused on the turnovers. Okay. Take care of the ball. I get that. We fumbled 4 times in the second half, which is unacceptable. One of them was horrible call. I mean, Pac-12 refs, they should all just jump off a cliff. that ball was not out. I mean, his knee was down, his elbow was down. Absolutely. No question about it. And so they didn't turn it over. Well, that's on us now. You have to regroup. You have to go out. You have to still play.
Right.
You don't let go a 40-yard touchdown right after that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gotta find it within yourself to fucking go do it. And right now, that's what Leach needs to go after. But the defense is atrocious right now. Tracy Clays, that dude needs to get his head out of his ass. He's still living in Minnesota right now. We're playing football in Wazoo. I mean, yeah, granted, he beat us. Wahoo. You know, in a bowl game one year. But,
well, I don't put a lot of stock into bowl victories,
no,
to be honest.
Me neither. Not anymore.
Yeah. Now that – ever since the playoffs.
Since MSU born, beat us in a bowl game, I don't put any stock in them. I mean, they got lucky. We were down 5 guys, I think. 5 guys we were down in that bowl game. So MSU fans, that's another subject. I think they can all just go – you know, they can kiss our ass. But – But going back to the Tracy Clays thing, you know, I mean, everybody's saying turnover, turnover, turnover. How many touchdowns did he give up? How many big plays?
Right.
I mean, we couldn't stop him.
Many touchdowns in the
second UCLA was smoother than my four roses right here. And so I don't know. I was thinking about it. I didn't realize Jeremy Pruitt's buyout was so high.
Jeremy Pruitt.
At Tennessee
coach.
Right, what does he have to do with this?
Because here's the thing. We're never going to reach the pinnacle. We're never going to beat UW. We're never going to get back to the Rose Bowl. Oh, buyout.
Yeah. I thought you said bio.
No. Buyout.
So you're talking about when Leach almost took the Tennessee job last year?
No, I'm talking about let's go pay the money and get him. Yeah, let's go pay some money and get an absolute badass defensive coordinator.
Gotcha.
And because until we do,
I completely missed what you were talking about right
there.
Right over your head.
Right over my head.
Nah, I'm sorry. My mind's moving faster than my bottle is. So.
I was going to say, yeah, when you mentioned Tennessee, I thought about the rumors of when Leach almost took the Tennessee job.
No.
But now I understand. So
you
want Pruitt to be your DC.
Well, we need somebody big.
Bring Grinch back.
That would be ideal.
I love that.
Speed D with fast offense. I mean, it was fun football to watch.
Yeah.
And. Ever lost Grinch was beyond me being co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Not the defensive coordinator, co.
Because he probably doubled his salary.
That's true.
It's
but
Ohio State.
I don't care about baseball wins. I don't care about basketball wins. I don't care about any of this. Until we get a good defensive coordinator in there, we're never going to – we got to get to the Rose Bowl.
Was there someone between Grinch and Clay's as DC?
No.
Okay.
No, they were back-to-back.
Okay. That's quite a change.
It is. I mean, Clay's has a good game plan sometimes, but, I mean, shit. There was nobody around those guys. And then the players want to take the blame up at the podium after, you know, in the post-game press conference. They're sitting there, no, we just weren't in our assignments or whatever. I'm like, bullshit. You were running. You were in the neighborhood. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, giving up.
I mean,
let's call it what it is, a collapse of that magnitude.
Look how much, when we started blitzing, he couldn't do shit. And then we just stopped blitzing.
Right.
That's
a big change.
Why? Why did you stop blitzing? It was effective. Like, this guy's hurt. He's limping on one leg right now, and you're letting him sit back in the pocket and throw.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of complaints with Lions fans right now. Especially in week one, the Lions had a 24-6 lead against the Cardinals. Went super conservative in the second half. And
why?
Tied.
Yeah, let him back in.
Well, that's coaches
still
quitting.
Undefeated, so.
Still undefeated. Yep.
That's the coaches quitting the game right there.
I don't think it's quitting. I just think it's overthinking.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair point. I don't think anybody really quits in this because,
Right. Let's
face it, they all like their jobs. They don't want to go eat top ramen. So I get that, but you got to get smarter. I mean, it's UCLA.
Especially when you're –
it is fuck luck. Come on.
So it was 35-17 at halftime?
Yeah.
49-17 at one point?
49-17. I got, I was here doing my due diligence, loving special events. And I get home, take a shower. 49-17. I'm like, all right, boys.
Yeah, she's like, all right, sweet. I can pack it in, watch something else.
Chief, all right. We're cruising. Then they score. Or then that fumble call happened. Then they score right after. I'm like, oh, Jesus. This is all too familiar. Like, we're going to let them right back in this. Like, show me something different. Kept going and going and going. And then finally I ordered Rallies on Uber Eats just to calm me down.
What time was that?
About 1:35 in the morning.
Nice. I was saying, unfortunately, I fell asleep and didn't watch the end of the game. I'm kicking myself.
Yeah,
bad.
You're lost. I texted you like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Bill, wake up!
Well, I was going to go to bed in the third quarter, actually, regardless of the result, because I was already pissed off that we were letting them back in it. I didn't even care about the result at that point.
Zach sent me 10 of the emojis with the cursing and censor faces. And then... the next morning, I responded and said, dude, what happened? He said, so much. I'm in depression. They basically got overconfident and gave up. Tracy Clays is on the hot seat right now. It's only one game, but you can't do that when you're trying to be a playoff team. They're calling this the thud game, mother of all meltdowns. It's about
and then I sent you my not in the mood shirt.
Yep. had wore a cow that. On it and said, not in the mood.
I wore that all day yesterday.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
I bought it just for Coug football, actually.
So, UCLA game is done. We've got to regroup. Assuming, so we did the game by game. What's your realistic prediction for Utah next week?
Well, they lost too. Let's not forget that.
They did.
Right.
They had that, whether we lost in the way, in the fashion that we did, a loss is a loss
right.
in college football. You know, when you win, everybody critiques it.
No.
And, but when you lose, you just lost.
Right.
And
if it helps at all, this was a crossover game. So in the terms of the Pac-12 North, you're still
we're
okay.
We're still okay.
Utah has a loss in the Pac-12 South, which hurts. I mean, it doesn't really affect
Suckers.
Washington State
yeah.
much, but you know, your division standing is still
we're
untarnished,
still okay.
which is good.
It just hurt the way it happened.
Oh,
but,
for sure. For sure.
You know, you got Gardner in the building, everything like
but,
that.
But yeah, Zach Moss also sprained his AC joint, so he's going to miss
he
next
did.
Week. That's huge for
he
you.
Is
that's
missing
huge for
next
Washington
week.
State.
That's massive. And that I think that's why they lost to USC.
I think so, too.
You know?
That and they got called for like 15 penalties. But
yeah, that doesn't
know,
help
you can't do that to
either.
Yourself.
You know, but hey, we had six fumbles and 50 points in 19 minutes. That never helps either. My, you know, and I'm drunk and I'm doing the math. That's a lot of math to do. Kudos to WSU for teaching me.
Shout out WSU Education.
We don't even have a turf program anymore, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
I think,
another.
I think Zach needs to be in the hot seat now.
Not me. No. A number of events happen, but it kind of sucks now. I'd love to hire WSU grads all the time, but.
Can't do it anymore.
No, they're not.
At least not turf grads anymore.
No. So, but what were we talking about?
Utah. Next
Utah.
Week.
Anyways. The Utes, you know, I mean, whether are they on horseback or are they on foot? Do they have rifles?
That's a good
do they
question.
Have bows and arrows?
That's a very good question.
You know?
I think we talked about this, me and Zach.
I mean, that's a Mike Leach thing right there. Did you see his deal with the Pac-12 mascot
the mascots,
war?
Yeah, that was
yeah.
great. That was
I mean,
great.
Do they have rifles?
Got to ask yourself.
Yeah.
Do they have rifles?
I don't know.
What kind of powers does the Sun Devil actually
that's
have?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
And I mean, we're traveling a long distance to fight that Ute. You
that's
know?
True.
And Utah's never an easy place to play.
No.
Utah's always scared the living shit out of us.
Especially this year, people are saying that Utah is the favorite of the conference, and if there is going to be a playoff representative, it would be them.
It's going to be tough now. It's going to
yeah.
be tough.
I
to
would
one
agree with
Pac-12
that. I would still agree with that. The only reason they lost to USC is because they're in the red zone, what, two times, three times?
And they couldn't convert.
Couldn't punch it in because they didn't have Zach What's-His-Face.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they lost because he went out. That's a fair statement.
Mm-hmm.
We lost.
USC also shut down their passing game, so that just exacerbated the issue of not having
well,
a
guess
back.
What? They're going to get a wide-open defense this week. So, happy for them, you know. Oh, man, they're going to be kayaking into the end zone. So, it depends what team shows up. I think Leach will get him going. I really do. Because Leach knows if he goes in there and drops Utah, he's got all of us thinking now.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't afford for us to think.
Really? Would you start thinking
I
new
mean,
coach?
You don't fucking do what he did last week.
He hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt? That's a pretty big doubt, though.
I mean, not him. I think it's Tracy Clays that you got to really think about.
That's fair.
I'm not blaming that loss on Leach, believe mm-hmm. it or not. You know, I don't think really any Coug fan was blaming that loss on Leach. It
certainly wasn't the offense's problem.
No. You
take away
point,
one, two of those turnovers, too.
At some point, you got to be smart enough to blame a player. These guys aren't just – they're young adults. They're not kids. Yeah, like these guys are young adults, you know. I mean – hold on to the damn ball, you know. Like at some point, you gotta.
Tough. I can't relate to that.
Yeah. Michigan never fumbles, so I don't know.
Well, yeah. At some point, like these are about to be the leaders of the world. That's fucking scary.
Wow.
They can't hold on to a football.
Zach is very high
expectations. That is a hot take right there. We are screwed because young men and women cannot hang on to the football.
It's something that simple.
We're screwed.
It's that simple.
You know, but, I mean, that questionable call on Leach's part. You know, we're supposed to be melting the clock. You got an all-star running back in Borgie.
Yeah.
It's time Give
to
him
hand,
the ball.
Hand the ball off.
Feed him.
Yeah.
You know?
But at the same time.
You have a great O-line.
if we're talking about not being conservative at the end of the game, you got to give him credit for letting Gordon continue with the hot hand. 9 touchdown passes is not easy to do.
Oh, no.
That's
how
incredible.
How do you do 9 touchdown passes?
And lose. That was just crazy.
You know, Gordon's going to be one hell of an arena football player.
I think, especially after what Gardner's done, I think he'll get a look in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because now people are starting to realize,
they're
like,
gonna give some
what
Leach
to
the Mike
got
Leach.
Coming out of there.
Yeah. And the NFL is moving more to an air raid offense, too.
Yeah.
If you can throw the ball, you're going to win.
Right.
And if you can get a quarterback who can run a complicated passing offense
mm-hmm.
with accuracy and with
right.
speed, you're going to do.
Well,
you're going to have a future.
You
got to
be smart.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people don't really realize Leach's playbook's maybe 9 to 20 plays.
Really? It's all variations of
the
same.
And the rest of it's variations.
Yeah.
It's you being smart. It's you recognizing coverages. It's you recognizing who's on who and
mm-hmm.
everything else. So, I mean, when.
Exploiting the mismatches.
Yeah.
Mismatches.
Yeah, when UW wants to say they're doctors, well, we're doctors too. You know? We just haven't fucking beat you yet.
Jeez. That's gold. So, who do you think wins the Pac-12 this year?
If I'm an biased guest, WSU.
Who really wins the Pac-12 this year?
Utah.
Okay.
I think Utah's very good. Even if we beat them, I still think they're going to get in the Pac-12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
USC's going to stumble somewhere. I think UW beats them this week. Yeah,
right.
They're too shaky.
Yeah.
You know, and
they're in the third quarterback.
Todd, what's Helton?
Clay Helton.
Yeah. Todd Helton, he's a figure skater.
Oh, he's a baseball player.
Yeah, Todd Helton was a Rockies first baseman for years.
Yeah, that was, Todd, I don't know who I'm thinking of. Never mind. Anyways, Spokane, very big figure skater place, you know.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. They like their ice. And so I think, you know, he's on the hot seat, man. I mean.
Absolutely.
If he does not get into something this weekend.
Well, he's been already this year. He's had such an up and down year. They lost JT Daniels, and then
that's the thing. You can't blame him for all that.
I know.
He's done a lot with nothing,
right?
But it's USC.
Yeah,
like, and that's what
USC.
It comes down to.
You
got to
win
10
games regardless.
He can't control whether this guy gets hit or not. I mean,
that's the weird thing. They lose to BYU, and then they come back and
beat
Utah with their third-string quarterback.
No.
Yeah,
I think they're going after Urban.
My next question is, where does Urban Meyer coach next year?
I really think they're going after Urban.
Yeah,
I think so too. I would love nothing more than see Leach beat the shit out of Urban.
Well, I would too, because God knows Michigan can never beat Urban Meyer. So
I think Leach will beat him. I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, Leach is very good. I mean, he's very smart.
Yeah, he taught a class in Washington State this
year. Yeah, in surgical warfare and football strategies.
I would have loved to take it.
Well,
I'm sure the waiting list was very long.
It was on Twitter, and you had to apply for it. You had to actually write an essay. Would the wishbone work in the NFL? And then it was something else about warfare that you had to write about. And they took the 40 best essays, and that's who got in the class. And Gardner actually got in it.
Oh, I'm sure there's no favoritism there.
I don't think there was, honestly.
No. Come on.
I think Gardner would be one hell of a soldier if, you know, Red Dawn ever happened again.
Yeah, he would be all about it in his jorts.
Oh, I'd go join his clan in a heartbeat.
I know you would.
Yeah. He's a very smart guy. I think he'll get his. He will. I'm very confident that in the next 5-10 years, we are going to be on the verge of making a playoff.
We were last year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We ran into UW.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say that Washington was necessarily better last year. I just think, like we said, talked about earlier, If there's anything that's going to stop a Leach team, it's going to be a snowstorm.
It's going to be a
snowstorm. It's brutal.
They're predominantly throwing passing attack in the Washington.
I don't want to be the biased fan as much as I sound like a biased fan. I don't want to be the biased fan and say we didn't get our ass kicked on the O-line and on the D-line. I mean, they whooped our ass.
And that's not weather-related at all.
No, it's not. That's just a matter of will.
Yeah.
And
But I think – people are starting to notice Washington State and Mike Leach more than ever now. Like, because I talked about the NFL moving to the air raid. Andre Lillard was a first-round pick last year. Minshew is now taking the NFL by storm.
You got Joe Dahl with the Lions. You got, you know.
I didn't even know he went to Washington State, so there you go.
You know?
Yeah.
And
people are starting to notice that the it's not just a gimmicky offense anymore.
No, it's a legit thing.
It works.
I mean, our O-line is 300-plus across the board.
And Luke Falk is starting for the Jets now. That's more circumstance, but
he ran into the Patriots is the problem.
That's always tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, give him a chance.
You can't put that on Luke Falk.
No. No, I don't think so. But, I mean, you know, they didn't have Antonio Brown, so.
It's not really anything Luke Falk could do about Antonio Brown. But
no.
Throw
the ball at him on the sideline.
This might be premature, but who's the guy next year? Is it Gage Gabrud?
No.
Okay.
He's done.
Really?
That's the crazy part about Gage. He's transferred from Eastern Washington for his senior year.
Oh, I thought he was a freshman.
No.
Oh, never mind.
He transferred to start at D1 school for his senior year and got beat out by Anthony Gordon.
Right.
So you let go of a senior year of a full year of playing to sit on the bench.
That kind of sucks.
And it was only 45 miles down the road.
I could have sworn that he was
a
freshman.
It's,
okay. Well, I'm going to take that.
Cooper, you know, this dude's got two C's in his name, like it's his initial CC or whatever. And I'm very dyslexic, listeners, so I'm sorry.
Cam and Cooper,
that's it, right there. Yep, I always get his name mixed up.
Is he the guy after Gordon next year?
I definitely. He's put in 2 years learning under Minshew and Gordon.
It's pretty good guys in front of you.
He's going to be filthy.
Yeah.
He was a 4-star out of Oregon. Probably just on the verge of being a 5-star. And he's very, very good. Some people thought he was going to get the job this year.
I was going to say, I did not hear his name much because I definitely heard a lot of Gabrud's name.
Yeah, I think Leach just got it through his head that I'm developing you.
Yeah.
And you're going to become the nation's leading passer. You're going to have all this that Minshew and Anthony's having. And that Luke had, and all the publicity, everything.
Holy shit.
Excuse me.
Listeners, we got a lion.
First time
here.
Sneezing on the pot.
Bill rented a lion.
Woo.
Anyway.
But yeah, Kamen's going to be very good. I'm excited for Kamen.
For sure. And look at junior year Borgie, he's a sneaky good running back. I think a lot of people will remember his name.
He's going to be very good in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good, really good pass catcher, little James White style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's going to, he passed up Stanford and Colorado to come to us.
Wow.
He could have been, if he would have went to Stanford, how much you want to bet they would have called him the next McCaffrey?
Oh, you would never would have heard the end of it.
Exactly.
He's probably getting called the next McCaffrey right now.
But the fact that he's at Wazoo.
He's going to get. He's going to get slapped
with
the
cliche. I mean,
we're
pretty smart at Wazoo. Look at me.
You're on a podcast that gets 10 listeners a week.
Hey, it's all right. Those 10 listeners are going to tell their friends. So on and so forth. Hey,
right.
If you guys like Turf, we're starting up our own podcast.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
What do you call it? Sod Fathers?
No, that's just cliche. But cliches are truth. So, you know, I don't know.
I think it's more of a bad pun than it is a cliche.
Yeah, make sure you...
our show name's a bad pun.
Keep your eye out for Zach's podcast.
Is it really? I don't even know what the name of
the
show
was. Talk-ons.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, they tried to get me to walk on at WSU. I told them no.
For what sport?
Hockey, actually. I'm not shitting you about that. I'm not
I know you are quite the skier.
I am, yeah. My dad extreme skied.
I don't know how much that translates into hockey, but
no, it does a lot actually. Like if you can play hockey,
good balance
ski,
and shifting
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, it's like your knees are your knees.
Yeah,
and so I went around with my dad to all these big mountains, you know, in Utah. Ooh. went to Alta, all that fun stuff.
Oh,
and
the
then,
makeup
store. Huh?
The makeup store. Never mind.
No, Ulta. I know what you're talking about because the girl I'm kind of dating right now works for Ulta.
ULTA, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife loves to go there, so that's.
Yeah. I can get a free shit.
Ooh, cool. All right, we're getting a little off the rails here.
So yeah. As long as you keep events off the field, we're good. But anyways, yeah, go Cougs. We are. I really predict our next loss is UW.
End of the year.
Yep.
So finish at 10-2.
I gotta have faith in my boys, and the fact that this happened, this might have been the biggest kick in the balls and wake up call you might ever get.
Yeah, it's a tough one to swallow.
Well, and they don't want to let it happen again. They don't want to lose again.
That's true.
You know, like that. Sometimes you just need something like this to happen.
Yeah.
Good swift kick in the ass.
Exactly.
We'll have you back on closer to the end of the season to recap how it's been.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the loss of the Apple Cup.
If my liver's holding up at that point, I'll come back on. But anyways, if that's the case, you can come to the hospital and talk.
And we'll have Evan on to call you an idiot up and down.
Evan doesn't know his ass from his elbow. He didn't even go to UW. He's the UW fan.
That is my argument that I hate the most is when people say you didn't go there, you can't be a fan.
Tell that to my fucking student loans.
We'll just leave it at that. Yeah. I'll get into it because we're already off the rails. But
oh no, we're not. Let's get on this rail.
No,
we're stopping the train right now.
Oh, okay.
We can get off the rails later when you come back on.
All right. Thanks I'm already drunk now. This whole segment got me hammered. So, you know, I just drank half a bottle of small. Did he change that? It's supposed to say small batch. Okay. It says small bitch on here.
That's good stuff. All right, wow. Zach. Thanks for joining us.
That was
Zach.
A gift, too. Jeez. All right. Well, thanks, boys. Go Cougs. And hopefully this week we don't coug it.
We hope.
Trying to change the origin of that name to when we couged it, you know. But
don't think it's going to change.
Go Cougs. Hey, maybe you can give me a call and have a podcast, special podcast, when I'm out in AZ on the sideline.
Might be fun.
That could be really
fun.
That
would be a lot of fun. Just get as long as you get an interview with Herm.
He doesn't like fat white guys, so.
Well, he's going to hate our podcast then.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, unless you're his offensive lineman. So.
All right.
Thanks,
this
Zach.
This has been a special edition of Preferred Talk-Ons with Cougar Zach. Wow. Thanks, Zach. What an interview. Holy crow. Oh my gosh, he was so hard to reel in. We had like four different times. I was like, okay, that Zach will wrap up. No, here's the thing about the Cougs.
We knew that was going to happen going in, though.
Yeah, we really did. So just, I mean, he is fun to talk football with. It's just, he thinks that football doesn't exist outside of Pullman.
Well, you have to get into a certain mindset when you talk about football with him. Like, I just want to have
plastered.
Fun. Right. I just want to have fun with this conversation. I don't necessarily want to get to it. And
also, you have to be open to the fact that, as Bill said, Pullman does not, or football does not exist anywhere better than Washington State.
And you have to temper Zach's expectations. Like when he said in the first half, they could have beaten Alabama with the way they were playing against UCLA. It's like, bud, come on. No way. No way.
So let's start off with a lighter segment here.
Yes.
Bill, how did your watchabilities do?
Actually, I thought they did pretty well. They run pretty true to where I had them.
I am seeing a lot of lines in your paper, though.
Well, it's just, yeah. I like to doodle. first off, the Houston-Tulane game from last Thursday, low-key one of the games of the year because Houston gave up a 21-point deficit.
Mm-hmm.
And Tulane had...
Wait, gave up a deficit?
Sorry, they gave up a 21-point lead.
Okay.
So
what kind of game was that? Because that would be a game of the year if they gave up a deficit.
In my head, I was transitioning to talking about Tulane. I was talking about Tulane coming back, and then Tulane ran 80 yards of the field in a matter of 11 seconds and won. Bonkers.
Yeah.
Anyway, there are two games on the do not miss that I should send to the bottom of the category.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan-Wisconsin was butt. For a lot of reasons. Obviously, we're not a Michigan podcast, but Wisconsin it was not close from the start. And Washington-BYU was not close from the start. I thought after BYU's first 4 weeks, I thought they'd at least make it close. It was not close. The two, I mean, it's still football, that ended up being really good games. Georgia State, Texas State. Triple overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not the best football, but very close. And Central Michigan, Miami. Ended up being a one-score game near the end. Who would have guessed that? Miami was a 30-point favorite.
I didn't. And CMU is my alma mater.
Speaking of which, teaser of the preview show, we got Central Western this weekend. So I want to
over under.
I want to come up with some
three
creative bets for you guys to
do. Is that Saturday?
That's Saturday at noon. Yeah.
To say we should go,
but we got to work. And then a couple other random ones. Tennessee, Florida ended up not being very good. SMU, TCU ended up being very good.
Well, did you really expect any Tennessee game to be good this year?
I kind of hoped that Tennessee would be like, hey, let's, for pride alone, let's make this one close. And they didn't do anything.
But, 3 points.
And then San Jose State, Arkansas. What are you doing, Arkansas? 5 picks to San Jose State? Come on. I mean, good for San Jose State, but dude,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Don't take away their achievements, Bill. They did great.
That sets back the Chad Morris rebuild quite a bit, if you ask me.
You think a year or more than a year?
Arkansas has a ways to go.
Arkansas was a
Tennessee.
They were from the Studs project anyway.
Tennessee just needs to blow it up and start over.
You think so?
I don't know what's wrong with them.
Oh, Tennessee?
They still recruit fairly well.
Yeah.
They just cannot put anything together.
Yeah.
It was
so it was a Studs up renovation, but you're saying take out the foundation.
Now we're saying get an inspector in there and just say, yeah, this has asbestos in the foundation. It's cracking. You're using copper pipes.
Yeah.
Just
spill on sand.
Yeah, exactly. Shut it down. Move lots, you know?
Okay.
Oh, man. I'm losing another game here. Where was it?
Probably next to one of the arrows.
Damn near every game has an arrow. Anyway, we're talking Florida State now. Alex Hornibrook got to play. That went about as well as you'd expect Alex Hornibrook and a Florida State offense to do. But another tweet of the week, courtesy of David Hale, who's a ESPN ACC writer. Florida State has somehow both led and trailed in every fourth quarter this season. That is so exhausting to watch as a Florida State fan. I would hate that.
I can't imagine, especially after the relative success of what was it, 5 years ago now?
They won a national title in 2013.
Yeah.
They played in the playoffs
6 years ago.
In the next year.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't, it's hard to bear that witness, that bear witness to that fall from grace.
I dislike Florida State, but I would like to see Florida State get back to
at least being
relevant. Because someone's got to compete with Clemson.
Yeah,
seriously. Florida State was that team.
Yeah, that's true.
I miss when Florida State Miami was like the game of the year, and both just are kind of meh now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they still hate each other, and there's like a fight bound to break out like there was last year. But I want to see a fight because someone is celebrating their third touchdown of the game.
Right.
Not because like, oh, you interfered on the pass for the fourth straight completion, or fourth straight attempt. Get out of my face. Looking at their schedule, I can be talked into Florida State not winning again until Alabama State in November. They host NC State this weekend, bye week, visit Clemson, visit Wake Forest, host Syracuse, host Miami, visit Boston College, then Alabama State. Yikes.
I can see it.
I mean, they're a shaky 2-2 right now. They blew a lead to Boise State, barely beat Louisiana Monroe in overtime, lost to Virginia by a touchdown. Looked okay against Louisville, but right. Louisville's also in Louisville. Year one coach and rebuilding right now, too.
Let's remember, the UL Monroe missed an extra point to lose that game.
Yeah. It's not like Florida State won. I'd say Louisiana Monroe lost. It was really bad. So, watchability was accurate this week in a very roundabout way of saying watchability is pretty accurate.
Okay.
It was just a fun week all around. We didn't even touch on Texas, Oklahoma State. Probably because it was on the same time as Georgia, Notre Dame. You know, one of those games was electric, high scoring. The other one was more of a defensive.
It's pretty much what you expect from throw.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, Georgia.
Jake Fromm looked good again.
Jake Fromm looked like Jake Fromm. That's all we need to say.
Hey.
Let's look up Jake Fromm's stat line.
He did okay.
I just say that to get under your skin because I know how much you dislike him.
I don't dislike him. He's just so plain.
But he gets it done.
Solid, yeah, he does get it done. Reliable quarterback who's a gamer.
You know who also gets it done is DeAndre Swift and Georgia's defense. Okay, he went 20 for 26 for 187 yards.
Yeah, wow, crazily inaccurate.
That's less than 5 yards in a 5 yards an attempt. It's not good.
That's all they needed. Or no, does what he needs to do.
No, that's like 7 yards per attempt.
Yeah, well, it's better than going 18 for 38.
Who did that? Shea Patterson?
Nathan Roark.
I'm not talking from a fantasy perspective. I'm just talking in general.
I am talking in generalities, too.
Then why'd you 20
for 26.
Why'd you bring up Nathan Roark then, Keith? That seemed pretty targeted right at me.
It was not targeted. I'm just saying. 20 for 26.
I'm going to call targeting on you, and you have to sit out the next half of our podcast. Can you imagine if we actually had that targeting rule like in our podcast?
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're out of here. You get silent treatment for the next 15 minutes, bud. Okay, I'll give Jake Fromm is completing 3/4 of his passes this year. That's good.
Yeah. What's his passer rating?
180.5. College passer rating doesn't make any sense. Kyler Murray had like 215 last year. I don't know what's average. We'll call 180.5 average because that's what Jake Fromm is.
We couldn't know because it's Jake Fromm.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. Josh, how did your money do?
I did fairly well this week. I was 4 for 5 in my locks. The only one I got wrong was the one I was pretty confident in Texas Oklahoma State covering the 72.5 mark. They did not. But other than that, Washington covered at -6 against BYU. Auburn A&M hit the over by 0.5. They finished with 48 total points. And the over-under was 47.5. And then the other two I got, SMU-TCU over 55.5, and Notre Dame also covered the 14.5 against Georgia. So, good week for me. Looking at the lines for next week. Getting excited for it. But, yeah, my locks were pretty good this week.
There's a lot of tough lines next week, but we'll cover that in the preview show. I was 4 out of 6 for my locks. Cal covered +2 at Ole Miss. Georgia State, 3 out of 5 with a push because Georgia State pushed +3 at Texas State. They lost by a field goal in triple OT. Washington BYU totaled for over 50. UCLA Washington State easily went over 58. They both went over 50 individually. Louisville did not cover a 6-point dog at Florida State, and App State UNC went over 58. So those are my two losses on the week. What's that?
Did you say Louisville didn't play Florida State?
Who was Louisville? The team?
Did you say Louisville played Florida State?
Yeah. They did the last weekend.
Oh, I'm thinking Virginia.
That's this weekend.
Yeah. That's coming up.
Okay. Or that was 2 weekends ago, sorry. Yeah, when Florida State played Virginia. They lost by a touchdown.
Yeah.
We just covered that on our Florida State segment of the week.
Yeah, so you literally just said it about 5 minutes ago.
Sorry.
Yep.
No, sorry. Obviously, it was not.
I missed it too. So
there were a handful of games, starting with Boston College, Rutgers, down to Troy versus Akron, that I got both the spread and the totals right. It's like 8 picks. How about that? I did. However, the night slate was very bad. And I only got 57% right this week. Still not bad. Still would have made money. But
still a very entertaining week, though.
It really was. It was really some really good games this week.
Better than week 3.
Yeah. The Utah State-San Diego State game was really good, too. Yeah. That was a sneaky one.
I mean, probably the game of the year, let's be real. That UCLA-Washington State game. It's going to be hard to top something like that.
I would agree. I mean, any team that comes back from 49-17 in the second half is going to be the game of the year.
Unless A&M and LSU go to 7 overtimes again. What was it, 6 overtimes?
Yeah, 7 last year. Although they have this stupid new rule now that after the 5th overtime, you just alternate 2-point conversion penalties or 2-point conversion plays, which just makes me mad.
Why?
Because I want chaos.
That is chaos.
It's not as much chaos as a full drive from the 25. Because then you can bring the field goal into it and et cetera. And, like, converting from the 3-yard line is a lot easier than a full drive when you're gassed starting from the 25.
What if they just kicked extra points? Like, all right, 5th overtime, kick an extra point until someone misses.
Just penalty kicks. That would be an awful way to end a game.
Yeah.
Just guess Louisiana Monroe. Awful way to end a game.
All right, well, is there anything else you want to talk about?
Credit to Alabama for fighting through adversity and playing at noon this past weekend.
Yeah.
Real proud of them.
Really, yeah. way to hang tough, guys.
Also, I asked Kelsey, how did you feel when Miami was up 5-0? And she was like, I didn't know what to do. And then Ohio State, I don't even have words for what Ohio State did. 76 unanswered points. I hate that. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah. It's not going to be great.
But I've been a Clemson fan for a long time, so.
Same here.
I'm in a good place.
Same here.
I mean.
Hey, you're a Wake Forest fan now, guy.
And a Clemson fan.
You can't be both.
I'm an Ohio State fan.
Oh, yeah. You picked Clemson out of the hat.
No, I didn't.
Who'd you pick?
Washington.
Who'd you pick?
OK State.
Oh, yeah. And then it's buddy Matt.
Got Bama.
Pick Bama. Roll Tide!
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. We will talk to you soon.